The following program is intended for mature audiences.
Welcome to the Soul Mason Show!
Wherever you are in this great big world, good morning, good afternoon, good evening. You can listen to the Phil Mason Show each and every day at 5 p.m. Eastern on Max Sports Channels, at 10 p.m. Eastern on the Superstation of Talk, TalkSuperstation.com, and at various times throughout your day on Armed Forces Radio and Cosmic Radio. I'd like to welcome you to the Phil Mason Show. I have a great show planned for you today. It is the middle of the week, and as always, we talk New York Mets baseball. And joining me to do just that, from bloggingmets.com, please welcome Mr. Mark Berman to the Phil Mason Show. Mark, how you doing tonight, man?
Good. Always lovely to be here.
It's always lovely to be here. Yeah, my new rig is finally here, and now I got to get used to it.
Yeah.
Windows 8, man. Do you know anything about that?
I do not. No, I have a Windows 7 computer.
All right, you keep it that way.
Oh, yeah, I don't plan on changing.
No, this is not the type of system that's very conducive to, anyone over the age of 11.
That's a ring endorsement.
Well, they don't pay me to endorse them, so I can rag True. On them. If they really want me to give them a good recommendation, don't call me. Not for Windows 8. What's new this week with you?
Nothing. Still in New York. Still in New York. I got nothing. My life is really boring.
Okay. You're going to be there for how long? Another week?
Another week, yeah.
And then it's back to sunny California?
Back to beautiful Los Angeles where there's no humidity and I can see the Hollywood sign from my balcony and, yes, no cats to be sneezing around. But, no, I suppose I'll miss my girlfriend.
Yeah.
And if she's listening, then, yes, I will definitely miss my girlfriend.
the big thing is if...
Yes, and she's not, is the answer.
No, we would have would give us some rational listeners.
Yeah.
Because we have some irrational people sometimes that listen. But, you know, it's hard to bag on the Mets faithful. They just want to see their team do well.
Yeah, we all do. And as we've said, we're negative, but we don't want to be negative, and we're reasonable, and we have reasonable expectations. But we love the Mets as much as anyone.
Yeah, exactly. Even more, maybe.
Well, yeah, maybe.
Dedicating an entire hour on popular show.
Yeah.
That's pretty much NBA-based now to talk about the Mets. Anyway, yeah. Jordani Valdespin, he's had a tough year, and it just got a little easier for him because he just got suspended for 50 games. He got caught up in the... Biogenesis magic bean scandal. Oh, what did you think about that?
Well, first it was a shock because his name had never come up at all, you know, for the past year when they were been talking about this. There were reports over the weekend that there were two or three players who had not yet been named who were going to be implicated. And I'd never dreamed it would be anyone on the Mets, never dreamed it would be Valdespin. But suddenly, you know, his name was there and, I mean, it's unfortunate. He admits to making a mistake last year, and we see last year where all his power came from. He hit, you know, those five pinch hit home runs, had like eight total, I think. So now we know why, and now we know why. Assuming this year he stopped doing it, now we know why he can't hit. So, you know, I don't think it's a big deal for the Mets. I don't think he was ever going to be on the team again, anyway, on the big league team anyway. So I don't think it really affects them that much.
No, I think he got busted with the testosterone cream, which isn't going to give you power. But what it does is it makes you more aggressive. Mm. And the odd part about this is that they don't have a dirty test for him. They only the only one that got caught with a dirty test is Ryan Braun.
Well, the dirty test for Braun was the one a year and a half ago. This time it was the anecdotal evidence that everyone else got caught up with. They didn't have a test for him right now.
Okay, but still in all, they didn't have a dirty urine. All they have is this doctor's word on it.
Right, and all the paperwork and whatnot. And apparently, I mean, I was questioning when they made the deal with him, because here's a guy out to save his own skin. He'll say anything they want. But the fact that 12 of the 13 players looked at the evidence and said, you know what, we'll take our punishment, means that the guy must be telling the truth.
Yeah, I agree with you. But Jordani Valdespin is probably never going to play for the New York Mets again.
No, and I don't think he was going to even before.
No. But yeah, you know what? It does explain some of his behavior, though. He's probably under a lot of stress.
True. Yeah. You know, I mean, I don't know. I guess he knew. The media didn't know. We don't know if the Mets knew. We can assume Valdespin knew that this was coming over the past several months, I would think. I don't know how that works exactly. Or maybe he'd never heard from MLB, and maybe he thought he was going to be in the clear, but apparently not.
I don't know, but he knew. The Mets knew. They all knew. They just didn't report it, which is probably part of the deal.
It is odd how him and Bastardo, how their names were never mentioned. It's kind of weird how that happened.
I don't know. All I know is that he got caught up, and I'm sure there'll be more names coming out later on, because this guy's got a big book of them from other sports too. So it should be interesting. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
The other interesting thing for me was that the deadline came and went, and mm-hmm. the New York Mets did nothing with it.
Yes, as we expected. It's, Marlon Byrd having a great year. He's a great guy, apparently, but he's not going to be in the team next year. Why not trade him for something? I mean, I understand the thinking. They shouldn't trade him for like a C-level prospect, because that's a guy who's probably never going to make the team anyway. Make the big leagues anyway. But if they could have gotten a B-level guy, I would have done it, because Byrd's going to walk away at the end of the season and the Mets will get nothing. So, I don't know. I would have done it. Unless they think maybe they can trade him in August when a team gets really desperate. He's got to pass through waivers, though, which will be a problem.
That's possible, that they could be waiting.
Maybe.
That's possible.
Yeah, I mean, I would assume, considering the rest of the season is going to be making, a couple $100,000, anyone would take him, and the Mets would have to make a deal with the team that claims him. So I don't know. But yeah, the inactivity, it's just par for the course for Sandy Alderson, who just doesn't seem to want to pull the trigger on anything.
Nope, he doesn't. And, well, who knows what they're going to do with him, too.
Yeah.
They'll keep him around because he's a company guy.
Yeah, Alderson, yeah, he's got – I don't know how long his contract is. He's got a few more years to prove himself. And I think he's going to be – I mean – I'm judging him on everything he's done so far, which is nothing, but I think everyone else is going to be judging him on what he does this offseason.
Don't know.
And the Rockies just tied the game up 2-2. Blackman just hit a home run. I don't know who this guy is, Blackman.
Terrific.
Yeah. So 2-2 in the same game. I'm sorry. Didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, it's okay.
Okay, then I'll keep doing it.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
I got nothing to say right now.
All right. Well, anyway, the Mets are currently playing the Rockies. Henry Mejia was pitching really, really well. Still is, I guess.
Yeah, still is. It was a breaking ball that kind of hung up there. Yeah. Oh, it was a curveball that just didn't move and just was sitting on a tee for him.
Yeah, that's terrible. But what's even worse, you know what? You talk about Henry Mejia, and they're talking about Bo chips in his elbow or whatever. And then they're talking about Bobby Parnell because he woke up with a stiff neck, and now we come to find that he has a herniated disc in his neck. He's not a chicken shit or a pussy or whatever you want to call him. He's Facebook Fugazis, dude. Parnell's a good pitcher. If you hurt your neck, you're not going to play.
No, I mean, I'm sure you, even aside from tennis, you've had days where you slept funny and your neck's a little sore. That affects your whole life.
Yeah.
So if you have a herniated disc, you're not going to be able to play any kind of sport. So anyone complaining about him not being able to pitch through that is just ridiculous.
Well, the problem is with you having a stiff neck, it's horrible to serve. That's where it gets you.
I can imagine.
And it's the same thing, pitching. It's the same motion.
Yeah.
These people just are stupid. You know, this is why I don't really congregate with these Met faithful. But when I saw that, I was like, geesh, no wonder they still got to believe. They've been brainwashed because they're stupid.
Yeah, exactly. But Parnell could need surgery.
That's not good.
Alderson said, conceivable that if those don't work, maybe some treatments and shots and stuff, something more significant might be more evasive, might have to be considered surgery, possibly. So that wouldn't be good. And especially if the Mets had any idea of trading him in the offseason, they wouldn't be able to do it now with him coming back from surgery. So that's another little wrinkle to think about.
There goes his trade value.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be done. He'd have nothing. And again, holding on to Parnell is not the worst thing, but as I've said in the past, if he can be part of a package to bring back a power hitting outfielder, you got to do it.
You're not going to be able to do it now.
No, not at all.
Ugh, motto. Ugh. It just gets worse, too, because the Mets are 17 games out. Our last recording, they were 12 and a half games out. You got to believe, though.
Someone's got to believe.
I don't. I believe they're going to finish. I believe they'll be lucky if they win 65 games.
Well, they're 49 and 60 now, so if they win 65 games, they'd have to win another 16 games, which I think they'll do. I don't think they'll go 16 and 30 or something.
Well, I don't know. David Wright, Captain America, is no longer on the field for us.
That's true. And you know what?
The Mets.
The guy's the only hitter in the lineup, and without him in the lineup, it's just a dead lineup. As a fan, there's nothing to really wait for. Like, you kind of wait for Wright's at-bat because he might do something really good, but now it's like, who do you wait for? I mean, as well as Marlon Byrd's been playing, you're not going to really sit around and wait for him to be up at bat. And Mike Davis is kind of fun to watch because you never know if he's going to strike out or anything. But, there's nothing to watch, and just from a baseball point of view, There's no threat in the lineup for the Mets. So I don't know.
No threat whatsoever. And it's terrible. They're going to be lucky to win those 16 games because he's out, 3 to 5 weeks? So figure it's the New York Mets. More like 4 to 7 weeks. What in the world?
Yeah, very true. Yeah, he'll be. I mean, he'll come back. We'll see him in September. And the thing about Wright, and he's coming off an injury, so who knows? But he always has really strong Septembers. He always finishes really strongly. So he might be able himself push the Mets to a few extra wins.
We'll see. I don't know. Yeah. You know, we'll see. That hamstring thing is not an easy thing to come back from.
No, and looking back, he probably would have been smart to go on the disabled list when he first felt the pain, because, as he put it, he said, you know, he felt it. He figured he can play through it. And give him credit for that. But he was playing at 80%. So, and he was trying to keep himself in control. But when he sniffed out that hit in the 10th inning of that game, he just went for it. And as a baseball player and as an athlete, that's what you do. And it came back to almost literally biting him in the end. A little lower, so he should have gone on the DL. It would have been 15 days, and that would have taken care of it. So it's a good lesson for the future.
Yeah, well, I don't even know what to say. I think Captain America. I don't know. Forget it. I won't go there.
Okay.
So I'm getting some weird feedback in my microphone, my headphones today. I don't know why that is?
Really, I'm not hearing anything.
Okay. Anyway. It's all good in the hood. But Captain America's out. Yep. Who knows when he'll return. But the good thing is that Wilmer Flores is up.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to seeing what this kid can do.
Yeah, so far tonight he's 0-2. But, he looks okay so far. Nothing special, nothing good, nothing bad. But, you know, I'm very curious to see him also. But it feels like we've been hearing about this guy for years. Forever, basically. Because he signed this, I think he was, 9 years old when they signed him?
Yeah, 10, maybe 11.
He was 16 or 17, And he's been in the system for 6 years. It seems like we've been hearing this guy's name forever. So it's nice to finally see him.
And he's having a good year down in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
So why not bring him up? And this is a good thing. I want to see this kid play third base. That's what I want to see.
Yeah, he actually just now a ball skipped over his glove at
third. I'm tired of seeing Captain America at third base.
Well, what do you want to do with Bright?
Oh, I'll show you in a minute.
Okay.
I have a regular plan for this.
Okay. But yeah, but Flores, I'm surprised they didn't bring him up a week ago when Wright first went on the DL. And the fact that they're playing him at third instead of second or short kind of I think they're showcasing him for a trade. I think if they really wanted to keep him, they'd put him at short where he apparently isn't a good fielder, or at least put him at second and move Murphy over to third and see if he could be the answer at one of those positions. Clearly he's not the answer at third because we have Wright. So I think they're showcasing him for a trade. I think he's going to be part of a trade for a power hitting outfielder in the offseason. Just my speculation.
Maybe so, but he is awfully young. The Mets have nurtured him pretty well for a long time. Brought him up. I want to see this kid play third base. I really want to see this.
Me too. And I'm not saying they should trade him. I wonder though, Alderson doesn't have anything invested in him because he didn't sign the guy. So I wonder if that plays into it.
It's hard to say with him. But yeah. We have been hearing about this kid for a really long time. And it should be an interesting time with him at third base. I think they're going to give him the opportunity to show what he can do. And I think this is the best time for them to do this. 17 games out. They have no shot at anything except hopefully finishing. Maybe they can finish third. Maybe.
Yeah, maybe the Phillies. I can't believe how poorly they're doing. I'm really kind of surprised. But yeah, maybe they can finish third. Even if they do, it's not going to be with any kind of solid, good record. It's going to be with a crappy record. Because the Phillies are somehow worse than them. But yeah, people are still talking about the wild card?
Sure. The last week, right after I published the show, I saw it said there were 9 games out of the wild card. Well, I don't think that's the case now.
Now they're 10.5 out.
They have no shot in hell.
No, they have absolutely no shot. I mean, they're 11 games under 500, and the Reds, who are in that second wild card slot, are 10 games over 500. That's a 20-game swing, and that's not going to happen. And even if that were to happen, even if Cincinnati collapses, and the Mets go on some kind of crazy run, they have 6 other teams ahead of them who also have to collapse. So they're not all going to collapse. Even if 3 of them collapse, the other 3 still have better records than the Mets and will get in ahead of the Mets. So there is absolutely zero chance of the postseason at this point. And anyone who thinks there is a chance is just, I don't know, they're just too optimistic. Without being reasonable.
Or they're taking medication that is far different from anything that I've ever taken.
Yeah, that's got to be true.
Hallucinogens are a beautiful thing, apparently. Because that's the only way that the Mets can make the playoffs via the wild card is if some of these teams' plane crashes.
All the teams' planes go back to crash. But even then, their AAA teams are probably better than the Mets.
So. I was just going to say, probably so, yeah. Because basically, and I know the New York Mets faithful hate to hear this, you have a AAA team out there that probably wouldn't even win at that level very much.
No, I mean, the pitching is good, but other than that, I mean, there's no hitting on the scene. And the guys who were playing now, Lagares and Flores and Quintanilla, are all, even Davis, we're all in the minor leagues this year. So, offensively, the team is a joke.
Yeah, they're horrible. But Davis, he's had a couple hits tonight, right?
Yeah, 2 doubles. One of them was a pop fly that fell in between Dexter Fowler and Troy Tulowitzki. So it's kind of a tainted double a little bit. But yeah, the first one was a good shot up the line or down the line.
That home field scoring.
Yeah.
But
Mihi was just removed from the game after 5 1/3 innings. He left with the bases loaded and 1 out, and Carlos Torres is in. So this game is slipping away.
Of course it is. Why do they have to lose to the Rockies?
I know. Rockies are terrible.
No, they're awful. But more importantly, my friend is a big Rockies fan, and he'll spam my wall probably tonight if Colorado wins. Because I predicted Colorado to finish last in the West, uh-huh. and I still think they might. Unfortunately, the Mets aren't going to help that.
Yeah.
If you're another team and you see the Mets on your schedule, you're almost like excited.
Oh, absolutely. Unless you're going to have to face Harvey. Other than that, you're like, we can beat these guys, no problem.
And the Marlins took out Harvey again, right? That's twice this year.
Apparently he started, I think, four games against him, and he's 0-2, and the other two games he didn't do well. Yeah, I don't know. Sometimes a team just has another guy's number, and apparently the Marlins just have Harvey's number for whatever reason.
I have no idea.
And it's shocking how awful they are against everybody else. And Harvey, you know, one of the best pitchers in baseball this year, and they're taking care of him, no problem.
Makes no sense to me whatsoever.
No. I mean, but that just happens. Like, you know, the classic thing is Tommy Hutton had no problem with Tom Seaver. You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And here's Tommy Hutton, who's a journeyman, who was not a good, you know, was a, you know, a below average major leaguer. And here's Hall of Famer Tom Seaver. And for some reason, he could just handle Seaver. It's just weird how that happens.
Yeah, I don't know. But all I know is that the Marlins have a whole bunch of Tommy Suttons.
Yeah, Tommy Hutton. Oh, and Eric Young just made a really nice sliding catch to keep the game tied.
Yay!
Eric Young... It's going to be interesting, if I can change the subject slightly. So Eric Young and Juan Lagares are both playing really well, and they're both making cases for being on the team next year. But you can't have both of them in the outfield, because neither one of them has any power at all. So if they go with an outfield of those two and a new power-hitting outfielder, it's not enough. One of them has to play center, and they need to flank that guy with two outfielders. Two power hitters. Having both of them in the lineup is not good. Unless they move Young to second and trade Murphy for a power hitting outfielder. But I have knowing Sandy Alderson, he's going to only acquire one bat, and it's not going to be enough.
No, he won't do anything in the winter.
I do think he will get one new outfielder. I think they should get three new outfielders, but that's just me. But I think he will get one. Then again, didn't we say that last year?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. He's going to re-sign Marlon Byrd.
Oh, he can. I pray he doesn't.
No, he's going to. If he doesn't trade him in the fall, he's going to re-sign him.
You could be right, but it would be the stupidest thing ever. And go with an outfield of Byrd, Lagares or Young and the new guy, or just Byrd, Lagares, and Young?
That's what he's going to do.
I hope and pray not. But then again, we never thought he would go into the season with this outfield, and he did. So I don't know. I'm at a loss. I don't think he will. I don't think he'll re-sign Byrd, but if he does, it wouldn't be a shock.
Yeah, well, don't be surprised.
I'm never surprised by Alderson's inactivity.
I mean, really, Byrd is a fan favorite, and, well, you never know.
He's cheap, which fits the Mets' criteria.
Yep. Brutal.
Yeah. Well, let's hope you're wrong on this one.
I hope so. Yeah. But, well, what are you going to do? The Mets are just awful, and the front office, it's the front office. It's not these young kids' fault out there. They shouldn't be playing at this level. It's the front office. They don't want to make moves to put this team on the field and be competitive, even though they claim, well, we're headed toward being very competitive for many, many years. No, you're not. You can fool those silly little bloggers, but you're not going to fool us.
No, and it's funny. Yeah, Mets blog has they run a thing every now and then about the Mets going in the right or wrong direction. And they ran it again yesterday or today, and I voted wrong direction because that's where I think they're headed. And I think it was like 80%, 20% said right direction. So The fans are buying into the nonsense from Alderson, but I just I don't think they're going to win. I don't think they're going to ever win with him at the helm. I don't see them winning anytime soon unless they just go nuts and go out and get four new hitters, which is not going to happen.
Well, which is not going to happen.
Right.
Now he's got his arms, he says, and a couple of them are good.
Yes, you know, we can talk. Yeah, and pitching is crucial. I mean, they always say good pitching beats good hitting every time, and I agree with that. But you still need some hitting, and the Mets have none, except for Wright.
And Captain America is currently watching from his Fifth Avenue apartment.
He's in the dugout, isn't he?
Well, I don't know. I don't pay attention to him, really.
Okay.
But anyway, what we're going to do, Mark, is we're going to take a break.
Okay.
And then when we return, I'm going to tell you what I would do with Captain America.
Okay.
Sound good?
I'm looking forward to it.
I know you are. All right. You're listening to The Phil Nason Show, and we'll be right back.
Music 24/7 on CosmicRadio.com.
Shut the fuck up!
Wake up, people!
CosmicRadio.com.
Been dreaming of that Greek vacation? Well, if you have, then you might want to check out the folks at the Aridi Grand Hotel, located in beautiful Corfu, Greece. Come experience world-class cuisine as well as the hospitality that Greece is legendary for at the Aridi Grand Hotel. You can find them at aridihotel.com or email them at reservations@aridihotel.com.
TalkSuperstation.com.
That's right, the superstation of talk.
Talking to you each and every day.
We have a lot to talk about.
Monday.
Government is not the answer. Elf is the answer.
Hey guys, I'm here.
Tuesday.
The Yankees are always good.
We are going to go for old-timers guys.
Well, I think I feel. I'm a Mets fan. We have clothespin.
Wednesday.
You and I are staying put.
Thank goodness, because I have no socks on, and staying put is what I need to do.
Thursday.
I would love Martin Sheen
actually decided to run for president. I would vote for him.
Friday.
You know how hard it is to get a topic not about sports on ESPN Radio? It's about as hard as me introducing sports on this show.
Saturday.
It's time to party.
And Sunday.
How can we respect anyone in Washington, D.C.
Every day, we talk to you.
Sit back and enjoy this.
Talk Superstation.
I'm on the air.
.com. Talk. Spoken here.
Are you tired of boring sports websites that's about the same old company line? If you are, then I'd invite you to stop over to thesportsgoons.com. The Reggie commentary and a weekly podcast highlighting today's issues is second to none. That's thesportsgoons.com. The new media has arrived.
Stitcher Smart Radio is an award-winning, free mobile application that lets you listen to your favorite shows and discover the best of news, entertainment, and sports on demand. Now you don't even need a Wi-Fi or a cell connection to listen to shows like The Phil Nason Show. Never miss another show. It's real simple. Just go to Stitcher.com and download the free app today. And never miss another Phil Nason Show.
This Week in Tennis is a weekly tennis program covering all aspects of professional tennis. The most controversial tennis show anywhere deals with issues no one seems to want to touch. For music and hard-hitting commentary, please visit philnasons.com.
Hi, this is Phil Nasons from This Week in Tennis and The Phil Nason Show. Max Sports Channels offers the best in sports talk radio, as well as
great music 24 hours a day. It's my daily destination, and I hope it's yours. The Sports Talk begins each and every day at 3 p.m. and ends around 9 p.m. Special programming on the weekends. And in between all that, the hottest music on the internet. That's Max Sports Channels. Make it your daily destination.
Welcome back to the Phil Nason Show. We are talking Mets baseball with BloggingMets.com, Mark Berman. The Mets are currently in fourth place, tied with Philadelphia, I guess, tied for third maybe. 17 games back. And we have, or I have, come up with a plan. As many of you know, I'm not the biggest fan of Captain America. But I'm not a detractor of Captain America. I just don't think he's a captain or a leader. But...
But you think he's an American, right?
I do think he's an American.
Okay, yeah, just being sure.
I do, yes. I don't think he has a funny birth certificate.
Okay.
I think if he wanted to run for president, I might vote for him.
Yeah, given the competition, we shouldn't get into that, though.
Okay, that's fair enough. But I'm wondering, is now the time to move? And this all depends on what Wilmer Flores does, because I think Wilmer Flores is going to be okay over there.
Okay.
Is it time to finally move Captain America over to first base? Because that's what I would do.
First base, eh?
Mm-hmm.
Now, why would you do that exactly?
Because at some point you're going to have to keep him going. And why not? You're going to get less wear and tear on the poor guy. I mean, it's pretty tough to carry 24 other guys like he has to do.
True.
And... let's be honest, he is not the greatest third baseman out there. If he were in the American League, he never would have made the All-Star team.
Well, when you say he's not the greatest third baseman, you mean defensively? Or?
Mm-hmm.
But defensively, he's excellent.
You think? He throws the ball away a lot. How many errors does he have?
I'm not sure. Let's check.
Probably 9, right?
Why do you say 9? Is that your lucky number?
No, I think it's because that's what he has.
Oh, okay. Let's check here. God love the internet, man. What do we do without it?
I'm telling you.
Where's Fielding?
Fielding. That would starts with an F.
Yeah, I know. But I'm looking on ESPN. Sometimes it's hard to find.
Yeah, I am too. Where is David Wright?
Maybe
David Wright has 9 errors.
Oh, okay.
Like I said. Because I'm a fan of his.
Right. I can tell. But, he does. Sometimes the problem with Wright, and this has been his whole career, when he has too much time is when he throws the ball away.
Right.
When he doesn't have to, when he gets to bang bang play, but can't think about it, he throws it fine. And when he has too much time, he also throws that kind of sidearm or three quarter thing. And it, a lot of times, tails away from the first baseman, and he's got to stop doing that. That's the only problem I see that he has, and that's kind of a mental thing more than anything. But making, you know, he makes these great plays. He's got great, great reaction to plays. I think he's an excellent fielding third baseman. Should have won the Gold Glove last year over Chase Headley. What's his name? Chase Headley.
Chase Headley.
Yeah, that was a joke. That he didn't win the Gold Glove last year. But, no, I don't see any reason to move Wright to third base now or possibly ever. I mean, there's no reason that he has to go to third base. I mean, Mike Schmidt never went to third base. First base, I'm sorry. Mike Schmidt never moved. Cal Ripken went from short to third. He never went to first base. So I don't think there's any law that says he has to go to first base. And who's to say he can play first base?
Well, he'll be able to play it. But the important thing is that it frees up third base for this Flores kid if he can play, and we can get rid of Cancer Bat.
Yeah. I mean, that's an interesting theory. I'd rather move Flores to second base or shortstop.
Okay, but the problem is now the Mets are going to need a first baseman at the end of this season. I don't see the Mets tendering this kid a contract. Do you, Davis?
No, they're not going to. They're going to move Lucas Duda to first base.
Ugh.
And I honestly think that was the plan all along. They were going to hope and pray that Davis get hit this year, then they would trade him. But no, I mean I can't stand Duda And but I think Alderson loves him because the guy knows he can walk, which is overrated. So yeah, I think that's the plan. And I think it's an awful plan, but I think that's what they're going to do.
Well, I don't like Duda either.
No, he's terrible.
This is why I like David Wright at first base. If we're gonna, if the New York Mets are going to keep Captain America around, and apparently they're going to, then put him over at first base, bring in a young kid that can play third, and now you got two guys on the corners that can hit.
Or, looking at it another way, move Daniel Murphy to first base and put Flores at second.
Yeah, but don't you need some home runs out of your first baseman?
I would prefer that, yeah.
So would most people, and I think David Wright would be able to do that. I think he's good for 15 to 20 a year.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, 20, 22.
If he stays healthy.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think his days of hitting 30 are over. He's gonna settle into, like, you know, 22 homers, 90 RBIs, batting 305 or something. And if he does that for the next 8 years, that'll be fine. But, yeah, Daniel Murphy's a tough one. Like, he hits well, but he doesn't hit for power. And he's not, you know, he's getting better in the field, but he's still not automatic at second base. So what do you do with him?
I don't know.
I think they're going to end up keeping him only because there's so many holes on the team. Why get rid of him to bring in another question mark? Unless, as I've said in the past, you can trade him for another sure thing, like, you know, a power-hitting outfielder.
Well, he's starting to come into his own at second base. He made a heck of a play tonight.
Did he? I don't think I saw that.
I didn't see it. I heard it on the Colorado Rockies radio network. They were raving about it. They couldn't believe it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Daniel Murphy's not exactly known for his defensive prowess at second base.
No, not at all.
So when he does things that are good, you know, it either freaks people out or whatever. But, man, I like Daniel Murphy, though. The Irish Hammer. How can you not like the Irish Hammer?
No, I like him also. I've always liked him. But it's but he's one of the only players on the team with any kind of value. So if they could get something someone better than him for him along with other players – you know, prospects or whatever, I think it's something the Mets should think about.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. Poor Zach Wheeler. But then Zach Wheeler demonstrated why he's not an ace and never will be on the New York Mets. He's proven my point that he doesn't have the chutzpah, if you will.
The intestinal fortitude?
Maybe that's what it is. Or whatever. Bear down and get her done. You know, it's easy to pitch when you have a nice lead and things are going well. It's a whole nother matter entirely when you're up against the wall and he fell apart. That was Saturday, right?
Sunday.
Sunday.
Oh, wait. Yeah, Sunday. Was the crazy. Actually, I actually did not see the game. I saw the highlights of Marlon Byrd losing every ball in the sun. But it was a beautiful day in New York. It was probably the most beautiful day since I've been here. Just a really nice day, and I guess it was like kind of a high sky, and it was very sunny. But yeah, Terry Collins was kind of upset with Wheeler. I don't know if he was upset, but he kind of took him to school and said, "This is when you have to bear down. When your team behind you is not getting the job done, this is when you have to say, 'I'll get the job done for us.'" And he didn't do it.
Because let's be honest, that team has carried his ass the entire time he's been in a Mets uniform.
Yeah, he's 4-2, which is...
Yeah, they score for him.
Exception. Yeah.
Look at Harvey. Now, Matt Harvey... Yeah, jeez. When I see Matt Harvey, I just want to cry.
Yeah, he could have 17 wins.
That's what I was going to say. 17 wins, yeah.
Yeah.
They just refuse to score runs for him.
Yeah, it's strange how that works out also.
Ugh, but Zach Wheeler, back to Zach Wheeler. No, folks, he's not who you think he is. Really.
I'm not giving up on him. I still think he's got talent.
I'm not giving up on him. I'm just saying he's no freaking ace. He ain't no Jerry Kuzman either.
No, at this point, no. You know, it's hard to say what's going to happen as we move on. But he's definitely got the stuff, and I think he's going to be a quality major league pitcher. Is he going to be a superstar? I don't know. An ace? I don't know. But he's got enough that he's going to be a solid member of the rotation.
Yeah, I agree with you. He's going to make a good number three.
Okay.
Even four. He's no two.
And the way the Mets are constituted, if they have Wheeler as their number one and Nice as a two, Nice can pull off being a number two, I think.
I think you're right. If his arm is healed, and apparently he's coming back this week as well.
Right. He pitched tonight in
Brooklyn, right?
Did you know? Not Brooklyn. One of those teams. Binghamton. And pitched. You know, he let up a couple runs, but that you know he went deeper into the game, which is all we really care about. If Nice is a two and Wheeler's a three, and then there's G as a four. Oh, and don't forget Montero and Syndergaard and all those other guys. The rotation could be something, and they don't need Wheeler to be an ace if they have
exactly.
Harvey.
Exactly, but he's no freaking ace. He showed that. He crumbled like a cookie out there.
Yeah.
Can't do that and be an ace.
He's not Harvey. He doesn't just take the bull by the horns and get the job done. So he doesn't have that. Like I said before, intestinal fortitude that Harvey does, but not everybody does. Like I was actually telling a friend this last week, the difference between Harvey and Wheeler. Apparently, last year Harvey was in Wally Backman's office pretty much every day saying, "Am I coming up? Wheeler never asked. Wheeler was like content waiting until he was brought up. Wheeler's just got this kind of laid-back attitude that Harvey does not have, and it's serving Harvey well. And Wheeler, you know, you can't change who you are, but he might get tougher as time goes on.
Well, I'll tell you what, Harvey, when he was in the minors, was holding back, too.
Yeah.
He was toying with him.
Yeah.
That's what happens when you're good.
Yeah. And the funny thing is, I was saying, Harvey came up last year. I was saying in 2011 they should bring him up. And I remember writing, you know, we don't know what kind of guy Harvey is. We don't know if he can deal with adversity and maybe failing at the major league level because not everybody can. He could. So he should have come up a year before he did, I think. Because even if he would have failed, he would have been okay. Because we've seen the kind of person he is.
Yeah, but if Zach Wheeler fails this year, he's not going to be okay.
No, he would have a tough time coming back from it. And I wouldn't say he's failing at this point.
Or I mean, or would I?
His ERA is 3.73, which is perfectly adequate, especially for a rookie. So I don't know. I still have faith.
You got to believe.
Yes, you got to believe within reason, and I think I'm believing within reason.
I agree with you. You are being very reasonable in your belief.
Thank you.
I believe. He's going to be a three or four pitcher at best, and I also believe that he will make a decent little trade chip if necessary, and I don't think for a second that Sandy Alderson will not hesitate to pull the trigger with him.
And that's where what I said before about Flores, that he didn't sign him. I think Alderson is invested in Wheeler because he acquired him. So I think he's going to give Wheeler – a little bit more rope because this is one of the centerpieces of his stewardship was getting Wheeler and getting Darnold and getting Syndergaard. So I think he wants to see it through. Just something I was thinking about. And whereas even Montero, who I think was Montero signed by Minaya?
Sure.
He has less invested in someone like Montero. So given the choice of trading Wheeler or Montero, I think he would trade Montero first.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
How's our boy Jeremy Hefner? He pitched all right the last time out, I thought.
What did he? I'm trying to remember.
He gave up 3 earned runs, 8 hits.
When did he pitch? Like.
Oh, jeez.
Did he pitch Saturday?
Yeah, Saturday.
Oh, that was a 12-inning game. Yeah. Yeah, Hefner is one of these guys you just kind of forget about him because he's not spectacular at all, and he just kind of blends in with the woodwork, so you kind of forget about his starts. Yeah, he was perfectly adequate. He had 6 strikeouts, no walks, which was good. I didn't see all of that game, but yeah, Hefner ERA is 4.23, which is getting up there. But as we've said in the past, no one expected anything from Jeremy Hefner. So the fact that we're getting some good starts is a big plus, I think.
Look, man, he's all right. You know something else? This is how stupid people are. They were hooting on Jeremy Hefner Saturday because apparently he couldn't get out the hopeless Kansas City Royals. Okay, listen out there, stupid people. The Kansas City Royals had a 10-game winning streak at that point. They lost their 10-game winning streak.
But they lost Friday night, yeah.
Yeah, then they extended it off Hefner. But this is one of the hottest teams in baseball and probably one of the most underrated teams in baseball. Kansas City's no slouch. If Kansas City was in the National League East, they'd probably be in first place.
They'd be in a wild card contention. No, they're a good team. I mean, Eric Hosmer, Billy Butler, Alex Gordon, they have good young players.
And that Greek kid, Moustakis, he's the one that killed the Mets.
He did something Friday night, didn't he?
Yeah.
Well, it's all a blur to me.
That's because you've been in the city too long.
Yeah.
It's the Cats. Got to be the Cats.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, trust me, I know about that too. Oh, yeah. Cats, dogs, I got them all now.
Yeah.
Like Dr. Doolittle. Anyway, the National League East. What in the world? I'll tell you something right now. Watch out. Atlanta Braves are just running away with things right now, aren't they? 11 wins in a row.
Yeah, they're up 13.5 games. Unbelievable. And Nationals, as we've been saying all season, you know, they're being punished for shutting down Strasburg and not seizing the opportunity when they could have. And there was such arrogance on the part of Washington when they shut him down, because they were like, oh yeah, we're going to be a contender for years to come. We're built for it. And look at now, they're 4 games on the 500. They're not going to make the playoffs. And they had everybody conned thinking they were going to win the World Series. You got to take those opportunities when they come, because you never know when it's going to happen again, and it's not going to happen for them this year anyway.
But my goodness, look at Atlanta. They have the best record in baseball now.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
Boston, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Their pitching is really good, but they, you know, offensively they have Dan Uggla, who's hitting 210 or 220 or something. The Upton brothers, who were hitting, what are they hitting, 230, 240?
They're not well now, no.
Yeah, whatever. And why don't I look and see what their guys doing? But anyway, their offense is not great, but they're winning because of their pitching.
Yeah, but they get the big hits when they need them. You know, guys like Chris Johnson, he's really stepped up.
Hitting 342.
They got him in that same trade with Upton.
Oh, that's right.
That was a big
trade. Freddie Freeman's hitting 311. He's doing well. But
his on-base Hayward's hitting 388, Freddie Freeman's.
Yeah. Hayward's hitting 235. Andrelton Simmons, 245. Justin Upton, 265. Where's the other Upton?
BJ Upton's batting 183. He's batting a little better than Ike Davis.
Yeah, and Uggla's hitting 192. I didn't realize he was hitting 192. He's got 21 home runs, though. But half of their lineup is hitting under 230. And they got the best record in baseball, so they're doing something right.
They play as a team.
Yeah.
That's what they're doing right.
The Mets took care of Tim Hudson, though. Good for them. I'm joking, of course. That was gruesome.
That was gruesome, but he's a class act, too.
Yeah. No, he is.
You know, he shakes the guy's hand, tells him, don't worry. It's baseball. You didn't do it on purpose. And you know, Eric Young felt bad about it, too. Of course he would.
And you know what? And no one really said this, but it was Hudson's fault because his foot was on the base.
Yeah, you know, and he knows that.
Yeah.
He knows it's baseball. These things happen. It's too bad, though. But Ugla, yeah, he's leading the Braves in home runs of all people. He's just killing them. I'll tell you what, they've got so much, the Atlanta Braves, and it just never stops.
Yeah.
But
that's
it's
why we
all,
hate
them. Well, yeah, but it's all about their pitching. They have this thing that's called a farm system. And I believe that they actually have a couple of scouts out there here and there. And they just get it done. Look at Julio Teherán. He's another one. He's pitching good baseball for them. He keeps them in games. Mike Minor keeps mm-hmm. them in games. Chris Medlin keeps them in games. He's 8-10, but he keeps them in games. Paul Mahalam keeps them in games. If yeah. Brandon Beachy gets back and he's starting to throw the ball a little better, he keeps them in games. And they don't think for a second that Atlanta won't still try to make a move.
Yeah, yeah. They pull off the moves when they need to. And they have Kimbrel, who's unstoppable as a closer.
Well, and they're unstoppable, and they, but yeah.
Yeah. And they lost O'Flaherty and the other setup guy that they had, whose name I can't remember.
I don't even remember now. It doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
Because they bring in a kid like Luis Valan, and he just kills them. He's got 19 holes. That's more than Parnell has saves.
Yeah.
That's the difference.
I think Parnell's got 22 saves or something, but I see your point.
But holds are just as important. Now, if we look at the Mets, let's look at the Mets for a minute here with the holds. Because this is a big stat to me.
I think, I don't like that stat at all.
Why?
I just don't think it's indicative of anything. I mean, you can get a hold and a blown save in the same game or something, and you can get a hold and your team loses. It's an odd little stat to me that I don't take too seriously. That's just me, though.
LaTroy Hawkins has 12 holds. That says it all right there. But honestly, people are stupid. I mean this, too. Really. How in the world don't they read anything other than the New York Mets stuff? And propaganda from Mets blog?
Probably not.
Oh, my own. And it's so hard to educate these people.
Yeah, I mean, just not Met fans specifically, but there are just a lot of stupid people in the world. I mean, when you read comments online from people, you think how are these people still living from day to day? Like, they can't spell, their grammar's terrible, they say stupid things. So there's a lot of dumb people out there.
But that's where they live, on the internet. They don't live in the real world, I'm sure of it. They can't function very well. But then you get these guys who come left the bar 9-10 o'clock at night, half drunk, and they start running their mouths or running their fingers on Facebook or wherever.
Yeah.
I'm not a big spelling Nazi, grammar Nazi.
Oh, I kind of am.
Well, you're a writer. There's a difference. But Pittsburgh, dude. Pittsburgh has definitely fooled me. What a bunch of bums. 67-44. That pitching staff just doesn't miss a beat. This is why I just get upset when I see these teams like Pittsburgh and these teams like Arizona and San Diego has a better record than the Mets and Colorado and San Francisco. If the New York Mets were in the West, they'd be in last place, man.
Yeah. You know what it is? It's the people making decisions. I mean, for years and years and years, Pittsburgh had just the worst ownership and the worst general managers. And now – I'm not sure who it is, but obviously it's someone who knows what he's doing, who's making smart trades. And that's what the Braves had for, 20 years. They just had smart people in their front office, where the Mets had, Omar Minaya for a while, and now Sandy Alderson. So it's all who's making the decisions and smart ownership, which unfortunately the Mets don't have smart ownership and good people making decisions, I think.
No, they sure don't. And they've got a tough road to hoe. They've got Colorado this couple more games with Colorado. And then who do they have next?
I just went away from that page. Let's see. Who is next? That's a good question.
No,
Colorado. Oh, Arizona for three.
All right.
Oh, next comes a West Coast swing, which are always tough. They're at Arizona, at L.A., and at San Diego.
That ought to be pleasing to the eye.
Yeah. And I'm going to be in New York for the whole L.A. series.
That'll be
which
pleasing.
Which is ridiculous. Yeah, I fly back the last game. But, yeah, those West Coast trips are always a bear. And they have, you know, 6-10 games. So if they can go 5-5, that would be fine. But what are the odds?
They won't. They're going to go 2-8.
Probably.
But you got to believe.
Yes, you do.
Anyway, Mark, great stuff tonight. Thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
All right. That was Mark Berman. You can find him over at bloggingmets.com, your daily dose of New York Mets reality. And that's going to wrap it up for today's Phil Nason Show. Special thanks once again to Mark Berman. Tomorrow night we have a monster basketball show. We'll be talking Clippers basketball, Spurs basketball, and Oklahoma City Thunder hoops. Until then, y'all take care of yourselves. Be good. And most importantly, thanks for listening. Good night.
Ladies and gentlemen, my mother thanks you, my father thanks you, my sister thanks you, and I thank you.